This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Take it each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you could never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Brayden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next at postwrestling.com is where you found us in whatever podcast app you choose to use. And it's Tuesday, 10:05 p.m., which means
we are live on youtube.com/postwrestling. Hello, YouTube room. How are we doing?
Hello, everybody. Yes, Tuesday nights are all right for fighting. Tuesdays are for us. NXT. It's for the NXT friends.
Friends.
And we'll always be your NXT friends, even on a day where other channels, what is it, whenever WWE books a show, when someone else has already booked a show?
The counter-programming.
Counter-programming. Yeah. That's what I was looking for. Yeah.
Of course, you're talking about the Jays v. Yankees counter-programming NXT right now.
I'll just pretend that game didn't happen today. It never happened. I think it's still going on, isn't it?
It's 6-6, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The fifth, six.
That was not the score when I looked last. Unfortunately, I had to watch NXT tonight, and I was like using Twitter to keep up to date, but...
Jays have been leading the whole time by the looks of it, apart from maybe the first inning. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. No, someone else told me differently, so...
People are fucking... Don't trust them. You got to believe, Brayden.
Someone was telling me the Yanks were beating us today, and I was like, oh...
Was it Frank? Was it Fire Frank?
True, yeah. Frank was watching NXT as well. Frank had double screens. It just was the Yankees and then the Yankees.
Yeah, I've seen Frank watch the Yankees in interesting places. But anyway.
Frank, our friend from New York, big Yankees fan. And of course, Toronto, our city, our team, the Blue Jays, going up against the Yankees. And we were so ecstatic. We were so over the moon that we're finally getting some sort of wins in our city, and Frank has the gall to be like, fuck you guys, essentially fuck Toronto. And I was like, hey man, it's the only Canadian team. We don't win a lot in this city, only Canadian team. And your president yet again the other day said, hey,
today,
Canada,
today, even
again today, again today, now a third time in a few days, hey, why don't you just join the US? Why don't you just conform? Why don't you just become our country? And so it's cool to see a Canadian team whoop some ass. I'm saying this, and watch, the Yankees are going to hit, the judge is going to hit some fucking big slammer and just crush us. But let us have something, you know, like, we don't have a lot of stuff in Canada. We have a lot of land, but just give us this one thing. Yankee, you guys have won so much. Just stupid pinstripes. BJs are better than Yanks. All right. So let's go Blue Jays, please.
Absolutely.
Support your team. I get it, Frank. You're a New Yorker. But just give us this one thing. Come on, please. Yes, that game is still kind of ongoing. I was looking at the score and trying to keep up. But was watching NXT today, a big episode. We're here to invade. We're here to show down. We're going to talk about NXT versus TNA showdown from tonight. I know AEW is probably still on the air
at this now,
moment, right?
It should be, yeah. I think it finishes at 10:30, right? We get the head start. We get the jump on John and Wei today. Going to be enjoying that after this show. What I want to know is, was there like a Sunday night heat before this with Chavo Guerrero versus someone, which tallies up the scores? Because
right,
I made this 2-2 at the end of the night, so yeah. No one really won. But of course, it wasn't a competition, was it? It was just a showdown, just a showcase.
Yeah,
just a friendly little rivalry.
Yeah, just bragging rights. That's what it's all about here. This is, it feels just like 2001 Invasion. It kind of feels like it. It's like maybe not enough Shawns. We have Shawn Michaels, but we don't have Sean Stasiak, and we don't have, what's the other Shawn?
Sean O'Hare.
Sean O'Hare. Yeah, the weird one.
With the hair. Yeah.
We needed him in this too. But yeah, TNA NXT coming to a head tonight. Don't worry. Spoilers, but the friendship is okay. Ava and Santino.
They told us at the end. It's like, very now end. We can put that behind us.
I'm jumping now ahead.
Now AEW
but...
are moving back to Wednesday. We can just be friends.
wrestling. Okay, so yeah, it's just if anyone's worried, TNA and WWE partnership continuing on.
This partnership continues, yes.
I knew it would because I saw the clip that they've been using to promote AJ Styles versus John Cena, and they're using TNA footage in this video, so I was like, wow.
Yeah, I
really
mean, I
back.
Believe this partnership is ongoing, right? Like, so it's coming to a, it wasn't coming to a head tonight. We've already got another two TNA matches announced for next week's NXT.
Wow, so it continues, yes. NXT TNA can just buy them already at this, just own them at this point already. Like, but I guess it's working out because, hey, we have some interest for Bound for Glory, we'll probably talk about tonight. Like they didn't necessarily try to hit you over the head with it, but they reminded you, hey, TNA is a pay-per-view, and I bet this will be one of, or if not one of their biggest buys.
I mean, you got to say, like, whatever your opinions are of these partnerships and stuff, they are promoting their stuff a lot more than AEW was when they were having that that rivalry. Like, you never heard any of partnership. Yes. You never heard advertising the TNA show on AEW, I feel. So
I feel like they're going to do really well this week, right? So Sunday night, which is this weekend, the real Thanksgiving, Canadian Thanksgiving. So, look forward to talking about that. And, like, we kind of did talk about it. We've done a show on Sunday. Just the other day, you and I did Poison Rana Live, and we were discussing, like, hey, this is actually the first time where, whether the hook is the Hardys and Dudleys or Javon and Leon Slater, like they'll hook you for this show. And I think there'll be some good stuff. I think Santana hopefully getting his dub back and getting the title back and stuff. So hopefully it's a positive direction and some good stuff. Obviously TNA gonna TNA. So there'll be that too, but I'm optimistic.
Yeah, so it is Canadian Thanksgiving this Sunday, so we won't be doing a show on Sunday, but we're going to try, we're not quite sure our work schedules yet, but we're going to try and put something up Monday next week. So keep an eye on our socials. We'll do Poison Rana Live next Monday before Raw, and that way we can talk about Bound for Glory, but also Crown Jewel, which is taking place in Perth on Saturday. Yeah. And as you mentioned, AJ Styles versus John Cena, they had the video package yesterday with a lot of TNA footage, mm-hmm. and AJ telling us on Raw, we don't need a story. We don't need a story. We are the story. We don't need Cena to be here for the build of this show. This match builds itself. And he's kind of right. Like, I did love that video package they showed, like their history of their matches in WWE. I love how they just were omitting that, you know, the first one, I think it was Good Brothers that helped and AJ cheated to win. They were just like, nope, AJ won fair and square the first two, and then Cena won the next one at the Rumble. But I'm excited about that match. For me, that is the draw to Crown Jewel. See what both still have left in the tank. I think Cena's had a nice little couple of matches with the Sammy match, with the Cody match, just showing he does still have something there. And we know AJ can on the big stage as well. So I really love their rivalry back in the day. It's one we'll get to eventually on The Champ Is Here. But I'd say this is the big draw for me for the WWE show at the weekend.
Yeah, obviously, AJ Cena is a match we've definitely been talking about. It's something I've been barking like, hey, I want to see that. I want to see it. If we're doing the greatest hits, like some would say his series of matches with AJ are his best. So like, why not run that back? It's kind of weird because they had the whole, is AJ re-signing? People like me were like, I just want to see you face Will one more time. That would be sweet. But now, like, I'm feeling this is it for him. He says he's retiring next year. He's getting the John Cena match. That's a pretty big deal. Mm. Kind of looking at where we are with the TNA stuff, I have talked about before, where, like, it would have been so good to maybe they didn't see this coming this far, or they totally could have, I guess. But if you were going to do some sort of big WWE or NXT versus TNA rivalry, like AJ Styles isn't really doing much else. He could have been like leading the forefront of this.
He's facing John Cena in his retirement.
No, but I'm like, what if you like made that part of the like a part of the like the story of like how he's supporting TNA in this like WWE partnership, and yet like I don't know. I feel like there was a way to have someone leading the charge of like something, and then it just felt how we got to Showdown here felt like a real half-assed. It feels like Team WCW 2001 taking on WWF, because it doesn't feel. I see Kaz hanging out with some people, and I'm like, what? This isn't really what
I
they're
agree.
Selling me on.
I agree to an extent. I mean, I think the reason why we're having it today is because of AEW being on Tuesday. I think this is something you could have built up with a few more weeks and had it for the Halloween Havoc event or something like that. I don't necessarily think you should be using an AJ Styles to build this. Like, the idea is you don't want to give, and what goes against this is a lot of those women on the TNA side, but yeah, you want to promote what you're trying to promote, this partnership. AJ Styles isn't in TNA. Like, what, you just get a bunch of ex-TNA guys back
to
this show?
Like, everyone else feels like they're just ex-WWE guys, except for, like...
But they are, but they're contracted by, apart from Kalani, like, they are contracted by TNA. You tune into Thursdays to watch TNA, you are getting Mara Sade and the Iconics, you're not getting AJ Styles, and you...
Inspiration.
Yes. Their theme tune said otherwise. I know what you mean, but I think TNA is so low down at this point. Like, they are on NXT's level. I think having an AJ as an ambassador, like going on the show, going into their Hall of Fame or something like that, but as a week to week rivalry kind of thing, I think it's a bit of a waste.
I don't know. I didn't say that. No, I didn't. I didn't say week to week. I'm just saying, like, if you had him show up at that pay-per-view that had, like, everyone like, oh, AJ's showing pay-per-view. Mm. He just said, oh, hey, it's great to be here. It's like, oh, okay. And then, like, up until this John Cena, he did this stuff with Dom, but he's kind of just been farting around. And then this whole TNA thing feels extremely watered down, that, like, if you were to have him involved some way, I don't know, it could have gathered some interest. The end game, him being someone who faces someone, a younger talent, to give them a rub for TNA, like a new Mr. TNA, a Leon Slater who's 21 years of age, X Division champion, would have been like a perfect example where you do like a one-on-one match of some capacity where, or like eventually, but I just think like of someone, I guess they have to have Santana win this belt back on Sunday. Mm. But I watched this show and it didn't necessarily scream TNA versus NXT, but it did have your TNA people of the last few years. It still is missing a big chunk of that roster. Like, there's people they haven't referenced and stuff at all. So this show was pretty entertaining front to back, but it felt weird. It felt like
I think
forced or something. I don't know. Am I,
I
on
think,
the right path?
No, I'm agreeing partly and not with some. As I said, I think you do have to, like, you've got to promote what TNA is, right? And who they are now. And yeah, a lot of them are ex-WWE. But I agree with the, for it to feel, if this felt like a, like an actual proper real invasion kind of style show, it'd have way more than four matches. They would be tallying up the scores as it goes on. But you'd have more matches than this. You'd have your, like, Trey Miguel's and Zachary Wentz involved somehow, because they're big TNA names. You'd have the Matt Cardona, Josh Briggs match on this show. This felt like an episode of NXT with some TNA matches, which as we look at next week, that is just NXT these days, just with this branding. I think this would have worked better as a PLE. I think if you did this instead of Halloween Havoc or Halloween Havoc Showdown or whatever you want to call it, and you've actually got a few weeks to build it, and you have six or seven matches on that show, it feel more of a proper thing. Whereas it did just feel like an NXT episode.
It felt thrown together.
Yeah,
it felt thrown together. They just had No Mercy, which was probably one of the most forgettable PLEs pay-per-views of the year. Outside of like some of the like title changes, it wasn't necessarily a standout show. When that would have made total sense to have that. Like, I wonder if they moved it or I'm not sure, but like, I think it's still cool. Like that they're doing something with this other wrestling promotion, because they would never do that before. Like, Vince would do that stuff, what, in the 90s, when you'd see like your luchadors or your sometimes, but like, or your ECW or whatever, but it's very, like, they would never do this, but they get away with it being in the world, in the land, in the realm of NXT and Florida, that it's like, this works. We're on the same level, like TNA, NXT. Okay. So I guess it works, but like the invasion coming in, showing up in the Cybertruck last week, like, okay, look at the state of this takeover.
I mean, you could have done this as a 2-week event as well, couldn't you?
Yeah.
You could have done this week one headlined by the men and next week headlined by the women, and padded it out with a few other kind of crossover matches, and would have probably got a better number for next week as well. But
yeah, I'm sure NXT, like, Tuesday is its normal spot, and we're never to really give a crap about ratings and stuff. But like, I do imagine NXT will beat AEW. It's not as regular.
I would think so.
Like,
that's, yeah.
It usually beats it on normal weeks, I think, anyways. But yeah, like, I definitely felt like if I wasn't doing the show, I maybe would have tried flicking channels, but I knew I had to be in the zone. And then I was checking out my Jays on Twitter. But and let me know when this game ends, because I would.
It's bottom of the fifth, 7-6 Yankees.
See, I shouldn't have jinxed it. I totally jinxed it by going off on Frank. Sorry, Frank. We still love you. But yeah, well, we will talk about Showdown in just one sec. We do other shows. I mentioned we went live on Sunday. Poison Rana, search that in your podcast app or on YouTube. Give us a little follow, subscribe to check out all these shows that we do. We talked all about A-Dubs this week, some WWE, EO, Rhea Ripley, the love story, all that jazz, plus a whole lot more of everything else in the world of wrestling. And we do tons of free shows, but we also have a patreon.com/poisonrana. Just the other day, we reviewed Invasion 2001. That's right. WCW and ECW versus WWF in a 2001 pay-per-view showdown. See how they tied that in there. This was so much fun to go back and rewatch this, but also made for a great podcast, fantasy booking, some WCW and so much more. So yeah, a great review. Plus hear us talk about Hugh Morris, Canyon, and
Sean Stasiak.
Oh yeah, I was there testing you. I actually completely forgot too. So. Dr. Sean Stasiak. Is that what I've learned? Someone, shout out Vince, listener, longtime listener, sent me, he loved our review and said that he's like, have you checked out Sean Stasiak as a chiropractor now?
Oh, maybe I did hear that. Yeah, okay.
So I don't know if chiropractors are officially doctors, actually. So, but Dr. Meat, basically, that's what I would use if I was him. We had a lot of fun talking about Invasion, the one Billy Gunn. But you have a picture of Sean Stasiak.
That's his LinkedIn picture or something.
handsome meat right there, for sure.
15-time WWF Hardcore Champion.
15?
Jeez.
15. Holy wow.
I can't remember him winning 15 matches, let alone 15-time champion. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen. Well, we saw him win a match at Invasion. So.
True.
We had a lot of fun talking about this. Again, lots of fantasy talking 01 times, WCW, ECW, and so much more. But Jeff Hardy versus RVD, standout from that show, definitely a classic. So we talk all about that. We have a show called The Champ Is Here, and we're doing episode 12 tomorrow. We've been going through every John Cena title win and title reign until we get to lucky number 17. And we've been doing these shows for the last few months. We've had tons of fun guests from all over the different wrestling podcast friends network that we have. But tomorrow, a friend of ours from Grapple Gareth will be joining us to talk about John Cena's 12th title win and reign. I'm talking Alberto Del Rio, CM Punk, Bret Hart. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Kevin Nash involved in this one as well. Yeah.
Don't even Man, fuck Kevin Nash in 2000. In 2025, he's all right, you know? But in 2011, I do not like Kevin Nash.
There is so much in this that we haven't recorded this yet. We're recording it tomorrow. And I think Gareth's a great pick for this because this show, I think this is the only time we're going to have Bret Hart wrestling on The Champ Is Here. And Gareth does the Bretro show for Grapple, and he's a big CM Punk fan. So, and perfect. Loves Alberto Del Rio as well.
Who doesn't?
So, yeah. So yes, we're talking about Night of Champions 2011, John Cena versus Del Rio, and then Hell in a Cell 2011, CM Punk, Alberto Del Rio, and John Cena in the first ever triple threat Hell in a Cell match.
Wow. Crazy. This is going to be a ton of fun. If you haven't checked out The Champ Is Here, we've been going through the entire history of basically John Cena in WWE with all the title reigns and stuff. So it's going to get even crazier with the next few episodes. But yeah, that's a series that we have on our Patreon. Plus, we do retro NXT reviews in What's Next. We're in 2014. Bo just got kicked out. We've done a whole lot over on our Patreon. It's $5 to get a whole month's access. Plus, it's spooky season. October, our favorite. We got a bunch of horror movie reviews coming up as well as a retro Halloween Havoc. So a great time. $5 gives you a whole month and you get all the different podcasts, and appreciate all the kind words we get from our listeners and Patreon supporters out there. Our friends and family super appreciate how you are supporting, and you're in our corner, and it's never too late to become a friend or family at patreon.com/poisonrana. And I know we want to talk about Showdown, but I felt so bad after we ended last week on Up Next. I forgot that I don't know, actually. Are we pouring one out for someone?
The news cycle moves so quickly. Who are we talking about here?
Idris
Anofe. Oh, has Idris Anofe gone?
So a week ago, he put up a video, and I didn't see it until after we had recorded, but something about him leaving WWE. At least he says he's leaving. So I don't know if that means a contract is not renewed.
Didn't he once say he was getting a tattoo as well or something?
Oh, that would be pretty embarrassing if you had the WWE tattoo and you have to leave. But
I think he's just, hasn't he just been kicking about on Evolve recently?
Yeah, but I'm wondering if this is, you're right. Is this some sort of ploy or is he just like going up? I don't know. I saw people reporting that he is in fact leaving. So I don't know if he's left already, but we love that tag team, Malik Blade and Idris, and like
they really
dropped the ball. I'm talking Mandy Rose when they were perving over her, and but they were good. They were good wrestlers at least, and kind of another what if, like they maybe focused on them. It was all Booker T's fault. Ever since he came in as commentator, he just shit all over them, and
they never worked reality of wrestling.
Yeah, I guess they never worked.
That was the nail in the coffin.
Wow. So I don't know if we're pouring one out, but just in case, let's pour one out for Idris because he was pretty cool. I don't know if we continued doing.
And I guess Santos Escobar now. Former NXT superstar.
Well, wait, Davey, AEW is just about to end. Yeah, he's showed up right now.
Got to join the Don Callis family. Callis, there's still time. Maybe in this last minute. We'll hear in the chat that he's joined the Don Callis family. Yes.
Don and Take plus eight. That's the Don Callis family. Nick Cannon of wrestling. That's so crazy. He should. Like, didn't that guy get a tattoo as well? The LWO logo is on his hand.
Yeah, that's okay. He was part of that faction. That's all right.
But like,
he didn't have WWE on it, would he?
Yeah, I guess so. That's strange. You know, I think we've talked a lot about him. We loved the way he was introduced into NXT, the way he was El Fantasma with the mask and the character. And then it was all a big like ruse for him to win the Cruiserweight title. I think that was such a creative story. And they'd ever used, like, I feel like that was, I don't want to say the word wasted on NXT, but it was used and you couldn't redo it. But if that were to have been on the main roster, I think a lot more eyes of.
It was a great angle.
Yeah, it was so
with the
clever.
Kidnappings and everything.
Oh my God! Yes, that's right.
It was Joaquin and Humberto got kidnapped, didn't they?
Yes, people.
Sorry,
were
Joaquin,
kidnapped.
Not Humberto. Joaquin and Raul Mendoza got kidnapped,
and then kidnapped and
And then we realized they were all in on it. It was like Scream. It was the multiple ghost face.
Yeah.
Sort of style.
And it's El Fantasmo. So ghost. Yeah. Okay. So like, I always thought that they had something with that guy. I'm not quite sure what happened, but like he had a cool run with the LWO and stuff, but maybe he wants to, maybe he keeps seeing those people in Arena Mexico, CMLL. Maybe he wants to take a dip into that too. So yeah, by the time you're listening to this, he's probably joined Don Callis family, but that's okay. So I would like to see him bring that gimmick back. I would really like that. You know, it would be creative. If you were to redo that gimmick, what would be the Scream sequel? Like what would be the flip if he is wrestling under this mask? And then when you have the big reveal, the mask is revealed, but it's not him. And then like, what, you know, like trying to be even more like next level meta.
Right. Yeah.
With that, you can think on it. You don't need to do
Yeah. You put me on the spot.
I know it's a tough one, but I bet you there's something they could do there, but I love, El Fantasmo, bring it back. So pour one out, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Remember him on a boat?
Yeah.
In NXT.
Yeah.
That's right. We had Mafia Wars.
Yeah, he had his whole thing with Tony D, didn't he, as well? Yeah. And Electra Lopez improving business by 16%.
Yeah, 18% or something. Yeah. Business up. Business is up. We're standing on business. So yeah, pour one out for them, I guess. But yeah, anyways.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chalk Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chop-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Well, let's talk about a showdown. There's going to be a showdown, Legends of Wrestling, tonight. NXT versus TNA showdown. We're going to the Performance Center in Orlando, Florida here for the showdown. And we see some clips of TNA, NXT, some of the stuff that's been going on. And then we see the teams show up, walking in together. They're riding together. Even though these people are baby faces and heels, when they're a team, they're a team. So here they come. And then we see the NXT women in the locker room all getting ready. Well, Sol Ruka was on TikTok. So
always, yeah.
I feel like it's a slow burn heel turn for Sol Ruka now that she's always just.
I think it's Sol become, turn.
Yeah. I'm changing my tune. Well, maybe we'll jump into that later, but I don't know. Why would she be on her phone for a very important match? I think she's getting ahead of herself with these two belts.
Maybe she was scouting. Maybe it wasn't TikTok. She was watching some TNA, TNA matches. Yeah.
I don't know if she would be. Who watches that?
I like some of the lines, this voiceover in the opening video here.
Yeah.
Kind of showing like NXT is the building blocks of the future of pro wrestling, and TNA is the heart and soul. And are TNA bound for glory, or will NXT stand and deliver? I thought it was a pretty good video package here.
Nice. Well, we start things off. We have four matches in total tonight, but they're big. And our first is a title versus title, double title match here. The TNA Tag Team Champions, the Hardy Boys, that's right, they called them the Hardy Boys here in WWE, taking on the NXT Champions, Dark State. And the two from Dark State in this match are Osiris Griffin and Dion Lennox. And the Hardy Boys, I mean, last week in that video from Kai Sinat's house, right?
Yes.
Jeff said that they were going to bring the enigmatic light to Dark State. And here they show up wearing all white. Like,
yeah, I thought, you know, I got my hopes up. I saw them coming out all in white. I thought we were going to have a bloodbath on this show.
They're saving that for Sunday night.
Pull back to their bruise days, you know?
In all white?
Yeah.
Yeah, like bloodbath. So the Hardys in all white, bringing the light, and Dark State just in their normal gear, I guess. Right away, though, all four members of Dark State jump the Hardys, but the Hardys fight them off, and it's just a 2-on-2 match here. Early on, the Hardys hit the spin cycle. At one point, Osiris is in with Jeff, and I'm not sure what happened here, but it looks like Osiris misses a shot, a clothesline, but Jeff sells it like he got hit. And then Osiris goes to leg drop him, but Jeff isn't there to
Jeff has like literally just sat up from the leg drop. But this doesn't look like a, you know, situation like where you put your knees up for a 450. This didn't look like a deliberate counter. He was just sat up and Osiris decided to hit this leg drop anyway. And then you saw Jeff looking like, should I sell this or shouldn't I? And kind of sort of half sells it. Like
it was bizarre. Sort of falls
back. It was messy looking.
This was a glitch in the Matrix. Yeah, I don't know what, like, it felt like it was two in a row.
Yeah.
It felt like you were watching it on reverse for like 3 seconds and then it played back forward or something. But yeah, I don't know. This is to be on a Botchamania, I'm sure, but not quite sure what happened there. Didn't get all of it here. They go to break, and now Darkstay tag in and out as they beat down on Jeff Hardy. Eventually, he comes back with a whisper in the wind, finally tags his brother Matt back into the match. He hits a huge DDT on Osiris and then starts to do the turnbuckle delete head smashes. Eventually, the Hardys hit the plot twist on Lennox for a two count as Osiris breaks it up. And this is when they try to hit Matt Hardy with the Doomsday device, but they kind of mess things up here as well, where Matt kind of falls over and they try to save it, but eventually Matt Hardy fights them off.
Yeah, at one point it looked like Matt was maybe trying for a poison Rana, which he doesn't do. Like, he's in the electric chair and you see him like tipping back as if, oh, is Matt going to hit a poison Rana? Haven't seen that before. And then he's going back and it's like, oh no, they don't have their balance. And then goes to one knee and Matt was on top of it pretty quickly because he then just like punches him in the corner and it's set up okay for the next bit. But this happening quite soon after the like clothesline leg drop like mess earlier, it wasn't great.
Yeah, like is it the blind leading the blind out there, or is it like these guys weren't just maybe on point? Like, I don't know. I couldn't tell what was happening here. I have to watch those exact clips back. But eventually, after this somewhat, it could have been a scary situation out of that Doomsday thing, but Matt eventually hits the Twist of Fate and then tags in Jeff, and Jeff Hardy hits the Swanton Bomb in the PC for the 1-2-3, pinning Osiris here, and the Hardy Boys have become NXT Tag Team Champions. As the commentary explained, these are the one set of WWE tag titles that have eluded them their entire career.
Yes. Booker was quite funny on, state the obvious there, but Booker, like, Vic is building up how big the Hardy Boys are and stuff, and you can hear Booker's like, they're good, but they've not won everything. And Vic's like, yeah, they kind of have. They've won. The Raw, SmackDown, WCW, ECW, like he's going through the list. I don't think they were WCW, were they?
No, they were WCW, but I don't know about
Invasion.
ECW.
Was it?
I can't think of ECW unless it was in, which I don't think they had titles, right?
Yeah. No, but he's going through them all, and then later Vic is still pushing Book, and then he's like, okay, take Harlem Heat out of the conversation. Like, the Hardys are good. And then Booker's like, oh yeah, the Hardys are great. Like, Hall of Famers for sure. And he's going on. Like, but you could just hear his pettiness. And Vic is just needling him the whole time. I didn't think the match was very good, to be honest. Those two moments aside that we've already pulled up on, like, I just found the end a little flat. Like, I think they could have actually built up, maybe not eliminated the rest of Dark State to so early to have the odds against the Hardys a bit more. I think there was a couple of big near falls. Like, you could have had, you know, Dark State hit their move and Jeff kicking out, or it just felt like the Hardys kind of beat them pretty easily by the end of the match, you know? And I think there was a bit more drama that could have come out of this. And then when you've got those two flubs in the match as well, I didn't think this was great.
No, yeah, you know, I love my Hardy Boys, and I tend to forgive them a lot and love them, and I will continue to. And I'm super pumped that they won these titles. I know it's weird, and I could be like, oh, look, these, like, are they must be in their late 40s or 50s by this point in WWE NXT developmental brand tag champions, but I'm not mad at it. I think it's fucking sick. They possibly are my goats of tag teams, to be completely. And I'm from Toronto. Edge and Christian are always up there in my heart, but I love the Hardy Boys. They're a big reason of why I really got into wrestling, and I'll be happy for them. But I didn't like this match too much, but I'll be watching this Sunday. I hope it's a lot better than this with the Dudleys. I'm being optimistic, but didn't care for the match too much. But I think it's kind of cool that, like we said, all those different titles that they've won. They've also won the TNA titles. So like that's a serious, and now NXT. Like there's crazy titles in there that you would never have thought that these guys would have. So I know they're just props, but it's still kind of cool, right? So.
Now, do they drop these ones to the Dudleys?
It's not a title. Well, it's a TNA title match, right? So,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't think
I'm not sure.
You can't give the Dudley Boys the NXT tag team titles. I don't care how much Bubba goes off on social media.
Wikipedia is saying tables match for the TNA and the NXT tag team championship.
Then no way. You're going to give Devon Dudley? Dude, can... barely walk. He's looking in better spirits. I mean, the fact that he agreed to do this match, like, I hope
he was hanging out with Carlos Silver all night. He was having a great time there.
I can't believe that match is for both set of titles, which makes me believe that it's the Hardy Boys winning, right? Like,
I would think so. You know, Swanton through the tables to win it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is right now is there aren't, I can't think of teams in NXT that I'm excited for the Hardys to drop it to. And I wonder if we end up having Leon Slater and Javon Evans teaming up.
Right.
And therefore, then you'll have the first ever tag team of two promotions being the tag champions. Because those two against the Hardy Boys has my interest. But I can't think of any real dream matches of the Hardy Boys in NXT that you could give to me. You know, like it's, what is the division? It's Hank and Tank and Dark State right now.
There are no other teams, and you just fired one half of your other teams that have just been chilling. And like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, there is no tag. There hasn't been a tag team division. Even when Fraxium, it was just them at one point. They created Hank and Tank. They created all these makeshift teams. Maybe we got to do that again to get some sort of division. Or a Dusty Cup to like create teams and give.
Yeah, we haven't had a Dusty Cup for a while, have we?
Yeah. Dusty Classic would be good around this time. Have the Hardy Boys in that. Right?
Yeah.
Like that elevates that so much. If you have teams from other things, but having the Hardy Boys, like it showed the Hardy Boys opened the show here. There's a lot of people. The PC is a small venue. Do not get me twisted. But half the people in that crowd looked like they were wearing Hardy Boys shirts. So like they're still a big deal to wrestling fans. Like they're living legends still doing wrestling, right? And that's still a big deal for a lot of people, a lot of casuals as well. But I'm happy to see them. Don't get me wrong. They got to put those boots up sooner or later, but I'll live in the moment, as the Hardy Boys always once said, and we'll enjoy the ride while we can. And I definitely have intrigue and interest in the tables match on Sunday.
So the last Dusty Classic was February 2024 at Vengeance Day. So we're well overdue one. And I think this could be the right time. It could be, you know, you've got some of those Evolve teams as well, like Swipe Right, who are pretty good. Like it could be a way of elevating them and mix in a couple of TNA teams as well. I don't know if the Rascals are healthy. I think they are, but have them in there and along with your Hank and Tanks and Dark States and all that. And yeah, maybe that's right. Do a Dusty Classic.
Like Hardys, they said while they're holding the gold here, they're like, we're the greatest of all time. Tag team, greatest. And that's definitely where Booker was like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
They might be.
Come on, like Harlem Heat were good, but they're not even in the conversation of the greatest tag team of all time.
I agree. Like they're good and sure, but I don't think they ever really come up in the conversation of greatest tag teams of all time. Like I don't think so. Sorry, Booker. I love Booker T, but come on. There's I love when Booker T goes on one, but Booker, no one defends themselves more than Booker T acting as if he, yeah, there's a lot of, I don't even know if they're in the top 10.
I wouldn't say so. No.
Like off the top of my head, there's a bunch of teams that, again, maybe the Hardys is number one. Dudley's, they're up there for me, for sure. Literally anyone who's in TLC 2 in WrestleMania 17, they're my favorite three teams. And
then throwing the Usos, New Day, Young Bucks.
Young Bucks might be my
Road Warriors, two, yeah. FTR. Like,
yeah. We'll go through like.
Fuck it, Fraxium as well.
We'll go through 20 fucking, hanky fucking teams before we get. Like, okay, now you're talking.
Idris and Malik, yeah.
Eugene and William Regal. One of my favorite tags.
Yeah, all right. They're around, I'd say 15 to 20 mark.
You'd say Harlem Heat would get into the 15 or 20?
Yeah.
Or Eugene and William Regal?
Both.
Tajiri and William Regal.
Tajiri and William Regal.
Yeah, there we go. That's a tag team. Shout out tag. We need more tag teams in NXT. So look, I'm happy we have the Hardy Boys winning some teams. I know it's weird, but like, what else do we have? I hate Dark State. I thought they didn't look good in this match. They got jobbed out and they should have. So.
The idea of NXT as well is to develop people. And often you get better by like in anything, yeah. Like you get better by working with people more experienced than you. Like, yes, I know when Becky was down there, people rolling their eyes. Oh, Becky being women's champion, taking it away from people. No, Becky's there to give her experience to these young talent and then give them the rub. And I see exactly the same with the Hardys here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. While the Hardys are here, though, we need to have like DIY come down, have a match. We need to like have a few other teams that are not in NXT, but in WWE, maybe like the Usos. All right. Oh, they're kind of together. I don't know. I don't bloodline lore, but anyways, Hardys are the goats at me. We have Vic Joseph. I know he got a kick out of this. Vic Joseph on commentary throwing to his wife, Mackenzie Mitchell, back on NXT TV. I think it was so silly for them to get rid of Mackenzie Mitchell.
Yeah.
She was great. We love you, Mackenzie Mitchell. So welcome back for tonight. Now in TNA, obviously. She's introducing the next match, and it is the TNA versus NXT Women's Survivor Series 4-on-4 elimination match. I know you popped hard, as did I, for the Iconics, the inspiration with their old music.
Oh, what a tune.
Oh,
Billy Kay, Billy, Billy Kay, Billy Kay. It's great.
I just always remember. Peyton had it before she was with Billy.
I thought it was Billy's first. I might be wrong.
Wait, which one's Billy Kay? No, yeah, Peyton Royce had it before with her flower and she would dance. It's cool. It's a good theme. So happy to see that. We called for that last
week. Isn't this ridiculous though? Like, why is it? Like, it shows how bad the music is today. Like, because we can remember Billy Kay and Peyton Royce's theme from years ago. Yet, if I was to sing Bailey's theme to you right now, would you know what it was?
Bailey's current theme?
Yeah.
Oh. Is it the, does it not have, oh, in the beginning? That's all I know of it.
Yeah. Like so many just unrecognizable themes today. Whereas the Iconics, it's iconic. It's an iconic theme. Yeah. It's
inspiration.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, they didn't use their old theme, but they're calling them the inspiration. To me, they'll always be Iconic, but tell me, what the hell are their names? If you're telling me this isn't Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, this then who are these people?
Cassie Lee and Jesse McKay?
Of course it is.
I don't know which one's which. Jesse McKay. Billy Kay is Jesse McKay and Cassie Lee is Peyton Royce.
Yeah. Is this their, maybe that's their, like, closer to their real names than what the other ones were.
I think so.
Anyways, yeah, Cassie, yeah. Okay, so Cassie is Peyton and Billy Kay is Jesse McKay. Got you. That's not that hard to understand. At least the last name. That's what I never understood. Anyone who changes their name, wouldn't you keep one of the names so that people know, like, at least the last name you could get away with? Like, if you're like Christian, I guess, added Cage so that it wasn't just Christian. But anyways. So it's the 4-on-4 here. Booker T is going off here. He has some words for all the women in this match. Lola Vice makes her way, and Vic is like, "Are you okay, Book?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm okay." And drops a rare shucky ducky, quack, quack. So, I mean, that tells you all you need to know is Booker T is on one tonight. Mm-hmm. So Survivor Series elimination, Jordan Grace in a ref shirt with the sleeves ripped off, of course, and Shawn Michaels booty shorts, essentially, as well as the referee, because she's kind of in between here. Her mind says NXT, but her heart says TNA. The crowd are really into Miss Parker here for Jada. They're cheering for her. She's in the offense, and she starts doing her butt attacks, where her and Lola, Jada and Lola, hit a double butt attack as the crowd are really going wild. And this is when Booker T just starts going full quagmire.
He's literally just saying giggity now.
He's gooing.
He's not even
giggity,
hiding.
Giggity, giggity. Yeah, he's just straight up having a good time. Now it's a big old brawl, and Grace is like, fine, it's a breakdown. Eventually, Sade, smooth operator here, hits a tope con hilo. Sade with the tope, very nice. Mm-hmm. Kalani hits a moonsault, more of a Charlotte moonsault, to the outside here, as then Sol Ruka really turns it up a notch and rides that wave with a Sasuke special.
Yeah.
One of the nicest looking Sasuke specials in a long time. Very nice. Taking out everyone as we go into break. When we kind of see picture in picture, Grace gives Jada Parker a yellow card. Mm-hmm. She's the referee. Maybe she's getting geared up for the World Cup. And Jada's like kind of blows her off. So she gives her a red card, which wouldn't that mean she's eliminated?
Disqualified. DQ. Yeah.
However, Jada's like ignoring that. The Iconic then gain control, and they start to beat down on Sol Ruka when we come back. JC now comes back and starts hitting super kicks to everyone on Team TNA. It's getting hard to figure out who is on. My brain is like, okay, Peyton Royce from NXT from like 2015 or 16 versus Kalani Jordan from NXT now, who's also on Team TNA. I then remembered, wait, is anyone from TNA actually on this team? No, she's just the ref. So we have everything breaking down at one point. Lola Vice is in. Lola Vice hits. I love this. Lola Vice, probably a big Jeff Jarrett fan, hits the stroke here for a near fall. Sade breaks it up. Still funny to say. And I think Sade rolls up Jada here and eliminates her. So Miss Parker getting some action from Miss Jackson here as Sade eliminates her. Sol gets in the ring and instantly hits the Sol Snatcher on Sade and pins her. Now Lola Vice is in and pins Cassie after hitting a series of crazy kicks to both members of the Inspiration.
This sequence was really nice between Cassie Lee and Lola Vice, where they're just ducking, like keep going roundhouses, both of them, because Peyton Royce has Cassie Lee has a long legs as well and always did those like leg lariats. So duck, duck, duck right into that spinning back fist, which looked great from Lola Vice.
So she pins Cassie, and then she reminds us that she is in fact Latina, for anyone who didn't know. This is where she was doing the ass shakes and hitting everyone, and Booker T just absolutely losing it here. Lola eventually gets with, sorry, Jessie McKay? Fuck. Jessie yes. McKay. Yeah. But Kalani tries to save her, but Lola pins her. So Lola Vice has pinned both members of the Inspiration, and Kalani, realizing that her team is dwindling. Eventually, though, Kalani hits Lola with the Judgment Slam, or the Angle Slam as they're calling it, for the 1-2-3 on Lola, therefore eliminating her. And then we have Kalani and Sol Ruka going at it, a bit of a famous rivalry from the last few years with NXT. And there was a very impressive Dragon Rana from Kalani, where she counters like a powerbomb almost into a flip like Hurricane Rana. This was awesome. But Sol somehow kicks out of this. This is when the crowd and the PC are chanting traitor at Kalani. Mm. They don't like how she's turned her back on NXT. They go up top. Kalani hits a Spanish fly avalanche off the top on Sol, and she's trying to capitalize, but this is where the other members of Team TNA, there's some kerfuffle. Everyone's kind of fighting on the outside.
They're distracting the ref. Yeah, so I think one of the Inspiration kind of tripped Sol. So Jordan Grace is going, hey, you're done. Get out of here. Which causes Jordan Grace to miss the one of a kind.
Yes. So Kalani hits the one of a kind moonsault, but is not getting the pin. So eventually it's only a two count. This allows Soul to get up, jumps up, hits the Soul Snatcher. But this is when JC Jane tags herself in and pins her to get the win, saying, "I did it all by myself." And Soul is like, I did that. That was my work. You just copied my homework. So Team NXT, JC Jane getting the pin here at Showdown.
Yeah, I thought there was some nice sequences in this match, like some, you know, the when they're all doing their dives to the outside and the, as I said, that kind of spinning back fist from Lola looked really good. But I thought there was a bit of messiness as well. And I felt there was one bit that was really, you know, I think Jordan Grace, one of the pin counts, she kind of, you really saw her like hold up for the two
right
before the kick out. And obviously she's not a ref, and we see refs make this mistake all the time. But then there was a bit where I think Lola got one of the inspiration in the like rear naked choke, and Kalani's meant to, it's meant to tap just before Kalani jumps in, but Jordan Grace hasn't like called for the bell to ring, if that makes sense. So she hasn't clocked the tap out, and then Kalani does break it up, but then the ring announcer already knows they have to say that. And then right after that, Kalani gets a pin, and the ring announcer goes, "The winner of the match, Team
Right,
Lola has been eliminated." And just, there were a few things that were quite messy. And I think, unfortunately, I think that was Mackenzie who had just been brought back for that. But I also think you realize how good some of these referees are, because Jordan Grace is not a referee. And I think some of the messiness came down from that, and her just not, little cues you're meant to be doing, like not quite catching that. And I also wonder, like, because I felt this in the Hardys match, and I felt it at a point in the men's match, whether in NXT, because they're in the PC every day, they get a bit more time with each other to work through certain spots. Whereas TNA being outside, I don't know if they've maybe necessarily had the rehearsal we'd normally have. Because there were a few times throughout the show where I felt there was a moment with Kazarian and Ricky Saints in the main event.
Yeah.
Where it feels like the other person's like, "I'm not sure what move you're trying to hit on me here." And I felt that kind of throughout the show. So I wonder if there's like a little less practice. And
you That's know, a fair
these,
point.
Some
That's
of these people totally are, fair. All they know is what happens in the PC. They haven't worked random indie shows and things. But overall, I did enjoy this match, but it had its problems for sure.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. I thought there were some good sequences, and like certain people definitely shined in this, and definitely Lola Vice for me was someone who shot, like those kicks and stuff, like reminding me of why she was in that women's match. Like, I think she could be NXT women's champ going mm-hmm. sooner rather than later, but there was some cool sequences. I think Sol Ruka is absolutely incredible to watch.
She's great. Like,
and I am thinking that it would be more interesting if she goes full heel. You know, she was coming out with JC, and JC's being rude and like shoving, and then she's kind of doing the JC Jane dance, and then they win and she's mad at JC, but then she kind of does the JC Jane dance as well.
That was actually something I liked about this match as well, is we see the will they get along so yeah. much. And I thought they actually played this a little bit more naturally, whereas it's like actual teams where you have your people that you don't like, but we're going to get along for this. It wasn't as heavy handed as it normally is. And I kind of like those moments like JC and Soul sort of doing the dance together and things.
So I like this match, but you were right as well. Like, there was a lot of stuff that was disconnect. Like, I didn't even talk about that one. Yeah. And someone in the chat, RYN in the chat, saying Sade missed a moonsault. I completely forgot.
What was a shame with that as well is as she's climbing up, Vic Joseph is essentially like read between the lines going, "She's got a lot to prove here. She was here. She was released. She has a chip on her shoulder. She's going to show us what she's capable." Oh, she moonsaulted way too far just then.
yeah. Didn't get all of it. Not so smooth operator Sade there, but that was unfortunate. But I still overall liked the match, but I can totally see that there was some things that were maybe a little overzealous or whatever, that they were trying to trying to do. But yeah, so JC wins for Team NXT, proving they get a big point here. It's 1-1 for keeping score. Don't worry, the score won't matter. Points don't matter at the end of this. But yes, JC wins this. We go to the Rock's daughter, the Pebble, Ava, backstage when she's talking to Matt Cardona. And he says, she gives him a little shit here, like, hey, what was the deal last week? And he goes, Ava, I'm so sorry. Oh my God, I wanted to be on Team TNA so bad, and I just wanted to prove myself. And she goes, Matt, you're one of the biggest self-promoters in the business. I know you're lying. And he goes, you got me. Yeah, I'm lying. I just wanted to be on TV. And
really want to be back in NXT, in WWE.
Yeah, Ava. He's just telling the truth. Yeah, he's just telling the truth here. He says that he really just wants to be on TV on NXT. She then says that she'll work something out when Briggs comes in, and Ryder hides behind the door here. Sorry, Cardona. And Briggs basically yells about Matt Cardona and how he wants to get some revenge on him. So he walks out, and then Ava says, fine, next week, Matt Cardona versus Josh Briggs. And then as Cardona's leaving, I really enjoyed this line. I think maybe some people like me or you are the only ones who get a sick, twisted kick out of his line. Oh, wow. That's okay. I love how this place works. And then walks off. So yes, you want to match with someone, this is how it's like the old days of wrestling.
Yeah.
You attack someone, you get put on TV. So Matt Cardona is going to show up at Crown Jewel because he's going to get his job back.
Yeah. Well, is this the decider? TNA versus NXT? Is this?
So it bleeds into next week that if Zack Ryder wins, O-Radio will tell him everything we know. I guess so. We'll have to. I mean, there's this weekend too with Trick and Mikey Santana.
Yeah, Leon and Javon as well.
Yeah, so there is some NXT TNA that's crossing over.
On the Post Wrestling Cafe this month, John Pollock and Wei Ting sit down for a new edition of Talk. We are also going back to 1992 to look at the G1 climax from that year. Rich Van and W.H. Park are getting together to review Peacemaker Season 2 and look at Marvel Zombies. Plus, we have Book Club detailing Kamala Harris's new release, 107 Days, weekly editions of Collision Course, and the XL versions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. All can be found at postwrestlingcafe.com.
We go to our next match. It is another TNA versus NXT for the NXT North American Championship. The champion, Ethan Page, defending against Mustafa Ali here. And I love this. I don't know if I recognize they did this before, but as Ethan Page makes his entrance, his song, the catchy part that goes, ego, you know the one. The crowd chant instead of ego, asshole. And I got PC, you missed 9 times out of 10, but tonight you hit a home run with
that. This is the first time. I hope this isn't something that they end up changing his tune, because they don't want these chants. They right. don't want an asshole being chanted, but
I think he would love it.
I mean more like
they don't want that word.
Assholes, like it's like crap, isn't it? It's kind of in the middle there. Like, it's not like shit or fuck.
No, asshole's weird. In media school, you're allowed to say ass, but once you add hole, it's a banned word. It's like, what? But hole is not a censored word. Neither is ass. But when you put them together,
you
can't do it. Yeah. It's so stupid. It's so many it is a banned word when you say asshole. And I'm like, that is so stupid. But I thought this was fantastic with this crowd singing. It fits
asshole.
The song. Asshole.
There ain't no party like an ass club party.
There ain't no party like an asshole party.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So asshole chants ring out here. I didn't mean to do that one on purpose, but ring out. Come on. That was good. So this match starts. Ali and Ethan Page. Mustafa gaining the offense here, hits his rolling into the ring neck breaker. It hurts more that way. And then a standing moonsault for a 2 count. Ethan Page goes, screw this, I'm out of here. He goes to walk out. Vic Joseph yelling at him like, oh, you're a coward. And he's basically like, I don't care, I'm leaving. When Ali attacks him and then hits a tornado DDT on the outside and then tries to get him back in the ring. But Ethan throws him against the ring post here, like with his face or
this
head.
Was nasty because he just like clipped his ankle. So when he's got him lying there, he's grabbing him by the ankles, and I thought he was gonna smack his legs against the ring post, but he just goes the other way. And
very dirty.
This looked great because it looked like Ali's head just smacked against this thing. And I always love that in Ethan Page, just his meanness. He does some real fucked up things in matches sometimes.
Ali felt like he was fighting for his job back here. Yeah. Like the stuff he was doing in this match. Holy. So he gets his face swung into the post here. And now Ethan Page is on the attack. He's beating him down. He's trying to get some near falls. Eventually he hits this huge lariat. And then they're fighting up top at one point and does like an avalanche snake eyes. And then a huge, almost test like big boot that literally turns Ali inside out, but Ali kicks out. Eventually Ali hits this like roll through, I don't even know.
Like the sunset bomb.
Pinning attempts here. There's a great exchange where they're going counter for counter and blocking each other's moves. When eventually Ethan's like, I think dodges a move at the last second and throws Ali again, another nasty spot right into the turnbuckle. In the ring. What a maneuver.
This sequence was great. It was essentially like Huluva kicks back and forth between the two. And then Paige scouts the last one and just sends him flying face first into the ring post.
There's another flying tornado DDT by Ali, but Ethan Page kicks out. It's only a winning move when Ricky does it. There's then another like European clutch pinning combination from Ali, and then a crazy tope where he flies at Ethan into the commentator desk onto Booker T, onto Vic Joseph. And when Ethan eventually gets up and rolls into the ring, Ali goes to climb up the top turnbuckle. But what he doesn't realize, I guess you could say this is a clever finish, because Ali doesn't realize that Booker T's headset is still wrapped around him. And as he goes up top to hit his 450, I presume, he can't, and he realizes he's stuck. So it's a distraction for Ethan Page to shove him off the top of this. And Ali, dude, went flying. This was Air Ali. I don't know how.
Shoulder right into the barricade. Like,
I don't even know if he hit the barricade. It looks like he just went flying and hit the ground here. Just on the mat like a pancake. Ethan Page throws him back in the ring and hits the twisted grin for the 1-2-3. So with the assist from Booker T's microphone headset, Ethan Page is still your North American champion in what I thought was one hell of a match on the show. I think this match cleared the rest of the show for me in ring quality here. But yeah, Ali proving, hey, you should have never fired me in the first place.
Oh, this match was great. I thought it could be good, but I wasn't expecting it to be this good. I really enjoyed this. I think this showed Ethan Page when he's at his best. I think you have some Ethan Page matches where he comes across, a bit of a Miz, a bit boring. And then he has other matches like this when he's got the right opponent where he looks dangerous. He always had great matches with Darby because it was that he was against someone who'd let him do this crazy stuff with. And here, I think he had some really dangerous looking moments. The head spot to the ring post, the face first into the turnbuckle, the finish with the shove off the turnbuckle, and then Ali, like his dives looked like had a little more edge on. That suicide dive where so often we see it as just like a little shove was like crazy, like sent flying over the announce table. I also thought the finish was great because I genuinely thought that his foot had accidentally got wrapped up. It didn't look particularly staged, and there's a bit he even bounces to do a springboard, which is where he like looks down and like Vic is calling like, hey, look out.
Vic is great. Yeah, Vic was calling, trying to talk to Booker, but you literally see the headset on the ground like trailing, and then he's realized, and that's when Vic is like, oh, wait a second.
And it's he does like a little fake for a springboard where if he tried to jump up to the top with that court, he could have eaten shit. And Vic is like, look. And right. I just thought the timing of it all was great. And just the visual of still after he gets shoved off, it's still around his ankle going into the ring and getting tied up with the twisted grin. I thought this match was really, really good and showed I thought showed both of them at their best.
Honestly, this second run, the second coming of Ethan Page as this North American champion with the new evil mean streak thing, it's totally working. This guy bet on himself, and the only gripe is that this guy should be doing this on the main roster, considering they don't have anything like this guy right now in Raw or SmackDown. He's so fresh, and when mixed with the right opponent, it works so well. You know, Ali, we think he's a great wrestler, and I really do, but ever since he's left WWE on this past year or two, it feels like, right, a few years now, whenever I have checked out some of the TNA stuff, whenever we have seen him on the indies and stuff, he hasn't really hit. He's just kind of been like doing the same old. He hasn't really been going for broke. And this felt like he was not phoning it in. He was eating some things in this match. So
I agree. I don't like the politician gimmick he's been doing for quite a while now. I find that has a disconnect with me. And the matches I have seen have been fine. Like he's a good pro wrestler, but I think there's, you know, when some of the stuff he did, like the, what was it? The inverted 450 back in the day of the Cruiserweight Classic and things like that, which were innovative at the time, aren't really anymore. But I thought this was a way better showing for him.
Yeah, no, easily like the best match for me on this show. This saved it for me.
I wonder how much of this show as well, and just this partnership in general, because especially when we look at that women's team, we go, there's more TNA like feeling women. Okay, they're all employed by TNA right now, but you know, a Rosemary or even an Alicia Edwards or whatever, they feel TNA, right? And I wonder how much of this is a way of WWE just being, let's have another look at you. Let's see what the Iconics are looking like right now. Matt Cardone, all right, we'll have a look at you next week. Like,
right,
we're keeping an eye, and maybe that's why you had so much of this sort of former WWE feel with it.
I mean, I'm shocked they haven't offered Leon Slater a contract already. Like, Joe Henry's been on NXT pretty much every week for the last few months. Like, they took Jordan Grace when her contract was up. I would imagine Joe Henry comes. Like, the same with Leon Slater, if they haven't already offered him something. Like, again, just buy the company already at this point.
You know what I wish, though, with this match is, because Ali apparently was meant to win the North American title at No Mercy 2 years ago. And had ring gear made, like North American champion ring gear. He should have worn that for this match.
Oh, nice. He could have won this match.
He could have.
That would have been cool too. But I thought this was awesome. Ethan Page definitely on a run. And I love when he can fight a guy where he can throw them around like this. I thought there was some really impressive stuff. But yeah, best stuff I've seen from Ali in a long, long time. I was really impressed with this. So great match there. NXT gets numbers on the board yet again. It's 2-1. What will happen? We'll have to see. We go backstage, though, and the doctor is in. El Hijo del... Fuck, what's his name?
El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr.
Right, yes. The son of the doctor. And he says, he cuts a promo in Spanish and then says that he's coming for the North American title when Lexus King walks in and says, come on, T, who are you trying to fool? Everyone knows you're just Tavion Heights under that mask. I know Halloween's around the corner, but you're not fooling anyone. And then Wagner Jr., or so we think is El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr., speaks in Spanish and walks off. And Lexus King is like, okay, keep walking, Tavion. When Tavion walks into the shot and says, yo, why you keep saying my name out your mouth? And then says, que a paso, muchacho, and then walks off. So Lexus King says, what is going on around here? So Lexus King is not that happy or thrilled for Bad Bunny at the Super Bowl in a few months. But I guess we're getting Lexus King versus El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr.
Yes. They announced it for next week's show, these two. But yeah, first of all, I like wish the best for Lexus King. He announced the other day that his brother just passed away.
So oh, my goodness.
Surprised to see him on
very
the show.
Very emotional. Wow.
His brother, Jesse Morgan, he tweeted a couple of days ago, I lost my brother today. He was a badass, highly intelligent, witty and charismatic dude who grew up in the 90s. You love video games, Warhammer, R.A. Salvador, among many other cool bro stuff. Recently, yeah, he basically, he alludes to that he took his life, I think. He said he'd been fighting depression and I think worked in the military or something as well. But yeah, very sad. So was a bit surprised to see him on the show tonight. But yeah, I thought, you know, when he said that's Tavion under that mask, I looked and I was like,
look at the hair.
It could be. It could be a bit of the hair and stuff.
The hair
it
was
could
poking
be Tavion
out.
Heights.
Yeah. We'll see. So I guess he'll be wrestling next week. That's tough about Lexus. I hope he's doing all right. But hey, he wanted to be on TV, I'm sure. So yeah. They put him on. So but yeah, wow. That's really emotional, I'm sure. So all the love to the Pillmans, to the Kings out there. But next week he's gonna learn a lot more than Spanish, I think. He's gonna get beat up by the doctor.
Yeah.
On NXT. I imagine we're leading towards Ethan Page and Wagner at Halloween Havoc. Are we going to stretch that out?
I think so, yes. Unless it's going to be on a AAA show. But yeah, I imagine Halloween Havoc. Especially, yeah, that they're putting him on TV on NXT. Yeah, I imagine that's Halloween Havoc.
JC Jane is backstage with Lola, Jada, and Sol Ruka and Zarya. And they're talking about how she won. And Sol is like, hey, like, that you kind of owe me for that one. And JC's like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. And they all kind of walk off. When Zarya is with Sol and she's acting a little like, yo, you didn't put me on your team. And Sol is like, yo, it wasn't up to me. Like, I would have put you on my team, but I didn't make the teams. And Blake Monroe shows up and she says, oh, look at you, double champ, kind of mocking Sol, and then kind of references the bickering between them and says that it kind of reminds them her of her and what is it?
It reminds me of that one week when I was Jordan Grace's friend.
Yeah. Jordan Grace and her muffin. What did she call her? Muscle muffin. And then says that like Sol only cares about herself. I mean, look, she has two titles and you don't have any. And Sol was just talking about how they have a tag title shot coming up on SmackDown, right? So that's a big spot. But Blake is like, she doesn't care about you. And Blake says, we'll see how long this friendship actually lasts, and walks away. So tension with Zarya.
Yeah, she also said, like, Zarya says, stop looking at her titles or something like that. And she's like, oh, I only care about that one.
The speed like, one, obviously.
Yeah, she completely shits on the speed one. It's like, no, I want that.
Yeah, that got a laugh out of me for sure. Like, I don't really care about the speed title. Just give me the good one, please.
So getting a Blake Monroe Sol Ruka feud, I think probably then leading into the Zarya Sol Ruka. One thing we didn't kind of forgot to mention is in the women's opening Survivor Series, how pissed off Kalani was with Jordan Grace. So it looks like we're going that direction with those two in a bit of a feud as well.
Interesting. For the TNA Knockouts title.
Yes.
Jordan Grace is like, seriously? Really? I just got out of this company and now you want me to? Okay, I guess so. I think I want Sol Ruka to be the heel now. I want Sol to be the like the surfer chick. She is selfish. She has two titles. She's never offered her friend a title shot. You know, if I was champion, I'd offer you a shot.
This is the place to do it, to try it out. I think she is so like
bubbly and
laid back and calm and cool a lot of the time. It's going to be a real character shift
but
to make
lately her. She's not like, again, watch her entrances. She's out there kind of just not necessarily being that anymore. She's kind of evolving into like more of the like flaunting, a bit more like the Liv Morgan kind of thing, like being a bit of a like self-absorbed. So I think or they're throwing that out there to maybe like, hey, this could be the turn. But Zarya at this point has every right to just get a match, but I don't know. I see Blake taking that title if that's the case, if they go towards that, but we shall see. Main event time, NXT, TNA, all of it comes down to this. Who could get the final score? Best out of four. Main event men's match, the Survivor Series. We got Team TNA invading NXT through the PC, making their entrance through the crowd here. I love Kaz. Hello, fellow kids. How do you do? Showing up here for Team TNA in his Van Halen gear. I say that, I'm joking, but to me, he is the only actual TNA person. Like, okay, Moose, Santana, sure, they've been the last
this
few
team,
years.
This team is a lot more TNA than the rest of the show, yeah.
But like, Kaz, he's someone I actually watched in like 05 TNA, 04, 03, or whatever, but yeah, in his Van Halen gear, so great stuff. Moose comes out through the crowd as well, and his song gets cut off right before the drop, and you could see people in the crowd like, yo, and even he was like, fuck, man.
Moose.
So he still did it. Out comes Santana as well, and so who's on this team? We got Leon Slater, Santana, Kaz, and Moose. The special guest referee is Joe Hendry, because he's kind of impartial right now. He doesn't know whose side to choose. And they're taking on the team of Team NXT, led by the NXT champion, Ricky Saints. For some reason, I almost said Ricky Gervais. Ricky Gervais and the TNA champion, Trick Williams. They all come out in basketball jerseys. Or sorry, like more football jerseys.
So I think it's, Javon and Miles came out in basketball jerseys. And then you had Ricky and Trick in the football jerseys. So, and Ricky's especially, it's black and gold. It's the Saints colors.
Right. Oh, right. Black and gold, NXT, the Saints. I guess coming soon to WWE Shop, NXT jerseys.
These look cool. I'd get one of these jerseys for sure.
Right. It's kind of like when Raw and SmackDown would face, they would have just t-shirts, but here at least they have jerseys.
It's a little better, yeah.
It's kind of like Survivor Series teams getting their own jerseys. They're no Shane McMahon jerseys, but they're still nice. So early on here, we have Miles Bourne, Team NXT. He's kind of on the offense, and he sends everyone to the outside, and everyone's fighting and brawling, and he hits a tope flying on top of everyone. He goes back inside. He's with Kaz, and he's hitting a very nice Ushigoroshi for a two count. Eventually, Kazarian hits the, like, I don't know what he calls it, but the ring spring, like flipping the person into the ring, and then hits the cutter and
pulling the ropes to pull their momentum into a cutter, right?
Yeah. So Kazarian with the first elimination pretty early on here, pinning Miles Bourne pretty quickly, I thought.
Yeah, I this was a bit where I wondered if Miles was meant to kick out and be in it a little longer. It seemed really quick, and commentary were also like, oh, I guess Miles is gone. like,
I was pretty shocked considering, is this even like his finisher? Not again.
Do it, but I can't remember it being a finisher of his.
I don't think it is. Okay, I'm looking at, like, I know Wikipedia doesn't do finishing moves, but apparently Kaz's moves are what? I know Back to the Future was his off the top rope thing, the flux capacitor thing. That's what it was. But what the hell is the cutter? I don't think this is his finisher. Maybe you're thinking Miles was meant to kick out.
I don't know, but I don't think commentary knew that this was going to be Miles's elimination here, because it felt so like watching one of those like 2010s Divas elimination tags where someone just runs in and gets hit with a bulldog and pinned, and then someone else gets rolled up and pinned. It just felt so like, Miles, you got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Just Vic on commentary was very much like, oh, I guess Miles is gone.
I think it was meant to happen, but it wouldn't shock me. I'm not saying this match was necessarily bad, but like the women's match earlier, there were some times when this match completely falls apart for some moments, and you're kind of like, oh, what's happening? So to suggest that someone was accidentally eliminated would probably fill in the gaps of why it was a little messy for me. Just as a viewer, I felt it was up with Joe Hendry as the ref. Again, it was confusing whether the crowd or the ring. I'm not sure, but there was a bunch of times in this match where there was miscommunications, as there was in the women's one. Just too many cooks, I guess. But yeah, Kazarian.
It's a lot for someone who's not a ref to control.
Yeah.
You know, like doing a one-on-one match as the special guest referee, sure. Doing these matches where there's eight people running around you, and you could see Joe a lot of the time when in the earpiece. Think you're doing your sound, your timing cues as well, going to break. You've got to be off the air, bang on 10. It's not like a pay-per-view where you have a bit more freedom with that. It must have been a really hard job for Grace and
I think it maybe Yeah, maybe that affected this. Maybe that affected the flow or something. I'm not quite sure. But we go into picture in picture. All of TNA keep beating down on Javon Evans now. Javon fires back at Moose, though. He's not taking his shit. He starts doing Javon Evans machine gun chops in the corner. Moose fires back at him, too. This is when Leon Slater comes in, and then we have Trick and Leon going at it, and they do a crazy exchange. I almost thought they were missing each other, but then they were doing big kicks and side kicks to each other. There was like a what Vic called the bounce back, and got a laugh out of Booker, like, oh, you should call him that move, where it's like a running side kick. And then there was a cutter from Leon to Trick, but a kick out. And then Santana's in, and he hits a cutter, but it's on Ricky here. So things are all kind of breaking down at one point. And then Javon is on fire yet again with the plancha to the outside. But then he goes for a second one to Moose, but gets caught, ends up turning it into a Rana. But I was worried that Moose completely just dropped him here. Like, the camera only pulled to the end of it, but I guess he was okay considering he wrestled still, but it looked like Moose completely just dumped this guy on his head, but the camera wasn't there to completely show it. Eventually, there's a cutter, but Leon backs out of it and counters Javon's cutter into a roll up. And Leon Slater, who will face Javon this Sunday, now has a pin over Javon because he has eliminated him, meaning it's 4-on-2 for Team TNA at this point as NXT rolls on. We have Ricky and Tricky left in this match, and Rick and Trick are fighting them off during picture in picture, and finally Trick tags him in. So Ricky's in. He hits a Michinoku driver on Leon for a two count, and then he goes to tag Trick back in, but Trick drops down off the apron and says, nah, I ain't doing this.
Even this moment, the timing was off because, and I rewatched this, Ricky tags his fingers.
Oh,
and then Trick stands there and then he drops. And it just, a few moments throughout the whole night just felt like things were slightly off. And
yeah,
even this moment was a little just ill-timed as well.
So Trick, the TNA champion, let me make this make sense. The TNA champion who is defending the TNA title against a TNA superstar, Mikey Santana. I keep saying Mikey because that's what Booker T kept calling him all night, Michael, by the way.
Yeah.
Mikey, he's really trying to get it over. I'm sure Mike Santana's like, yo, I don't use that name. Okay. Trick is facing Santana, and here he helps Santana win the match by leaving the match, by helping Team TNA. So wouldn't that be a babyface turn? Because the crowd are chanting for TNA over NXT almost at this point. This is a little convoluted.
Part of me was actually thinking, because Trick wasn't the legal man, so he's still technically in the match. And part of me was wondering if, like, you know, it was going to be down to Santana and Ricky, and Santana wins, and then Trick comes in. Because if he was the legal man, he'd have been counted out, but he wasn't. He just left the apron. So, yeah.
Okay, so he leaves, leaving Ricky alone in the match. And this is where Kazarian's like, hey, I've already eliminated one person. Why not try it again? However, Ricky kicks out of Kaz, eventually pins him with a roll up, and then Slater hits him with a splash for a two count. He goes up for the Swanton 450, but Ricky puts the knees up and then rolls him up instantly. So now Ricky jobbing out the team TNA, two in a row, two down, two more to go, Moose and Santana. This is when there's super kicks from Ricky in a last fighting effort, trying to fight both of these guys off. And as Moose tries to hit him with a spear, he dodges it as Santana gets speared by Moose. And then Ricky hits the what does he do? What's Ricky's move? Oh, I forget now. He hits something. Yeah, DDT. That's right. He tries to go that on Moose, but eventually it's not. And Moose and Ricky gain control of him. The numbers game add up, and spin the block connects on Ricky, and
nice pop-up powerbomb, and then rolled into the spin the block
lariat there. So Team TNA putting away the NXT champion, and Team TNA win the match and win the showdown, right? That's how it works.
Yeah, I felt very similarly to how I did about the women's. I thought there was some nice stuff in here, but there was a lot of messy things as well. There was a moment as well with Ricky and Kaz where Kaz like hooks the leg and he's gonna like flip him backwards. I think we've seen it into it. Is that into a cutter or something? But it looked like Ricky was like, okay, sorry, what are you doing here? What do you want me to do? Like, you're just grabbing my leg and my balls and you go, okay, oh, we're going that way. And it just felt like that all night. The trick, Ricky stuff was pretty predictable. I think it's just Trick's been flirting with kind of being a bit of a baby face again the last couple of weeks for this show, but this is just solidifying him as a heel to go into Bound for Glory. He doesn't care about NXT, he doesn't care about TNA, he just cares about himself. Yeah. But I enjoyed this show. It wasn't without its faults, but I did have fun watching this tonight. I think it being four matches, there was a lot less sort of silliness in between segments than we normally get. It was pretty much four matches for the whole show. Like, these Survivor Series matches got time. I enjoyed it, but yeah, there was definitely some messiness up and down throughout the card as well.
Yeah, there was some sequences and some wrestling in this main event with the men that, like, there was some great stuff. It does make you want to watch Javon Leon Slater on Sunday, like, really hyped for that match. And, you know, I'm joking on Kaz, but at least he got some TV time. Like, good for him. Again, he is someone who's kind of wrestled for a long time, and, you know, he chose to go back to TNA and this and that. I still don't know what champion he is, but it, like, good for him in retrospect. Like, it's cool to see that. And he is really the only TNA face for me in this match, but it had some cool moments and stuff. I just thought the Trick thing, you could have planned something a bit more creative if you were going to. I was expecting TNA to win, but I didn't think the way they did it makes a lot of sense. Like, okay, Trick should lose the TNA title to Santana on Sunday, and then the next pay-per-view for NXT, or PLE, I should say, Halloween Havoc, is probably Trick versus Ricky.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? Like, that's definitely the direction we would be going to. So I guess that makes sense of why they did it this way. I think I may have enjoyed the women's one more than the men's one, just in, like, Lola Vice was my MVP of these two matches.
I did think Ricky looked really good in this match as well, though. I thought his, like, underdog selling and, like, just babyface flair and fire up spots was really nice. I agree. I think I enjoyed the women's more.
Like, yeah, match of the night definitely was Ethan Page.
Yeah.
Ali, 100%. But you said, like, a normal NXT, we might get one good match out of the show and everything else is shit flying at the wall and seeing if it sticks. Whereas at least there was something, it was contained chaos this week of just, like, it felt something refreshing with the splash of TNA and stuff, I guess. But I don't know if, like, they did the fight. So, like, are we going to continue this rivalry? Because after the match, it cuts to Ava and Santino, and she congratulates Santino. Congratulate TNA. She says, wow, I can't believe you beat us. But, you know, and then Santino says, yeah, but you had us in the women's, you know, the women's match. And then it's like, oh, what's the score? 2-2? Ah, tie game. GG. Good game. And they say they're really excited about Bound for Glory. And she says that next week she's going to have a battle royal that will invite TNA knockouts. And the winner of the battle royal gets to face JC Jane for the NXT Women's Championship at Halloween Havoc. And he says, oh, thank you for the invitation. So that will be happening next week. But the friendship.
I love how
continues.
They were just like, oh, now we can put that all behind us. We can continue growing this partnership.
Ridiculous.
Who do you see winning this battle royal?
Who is there in TNA that we know? Like, what? Like, what would...
I mean, TNA talent's going to be in it. It doesn't necessarily mean they'll win.
Right.
Who would be a fresh opponent for...
Tessa.
Jeez, God.
Joking.
Who'd be a fresh opponent on the NXT side for JC?
Fallon.
Yeah. Yeah, Fallon. Why not? That's... Go for that.
Yeah.
Because it looks like you're doing Jordan Grace and Kalani. So, and it looks like you're doing Blake Monroe and Sol. So they're all the ones that you wouldn't possibly. And you've just
Zarya.
Lola, Jada, I guess you could do.
Jada. Lola, like, won the match, right? Like, you would think that she. I mean, sorry. No, JC won the match.
JC won the match.
Technically. Yeah. But yeah, okay. Like, I think Sol Ruka eventually will go after that title if she were to drop the other two eventually. But yeah. Halloween Havoc, like, it's far ahead. It's still a few weeks, but Ricky versus Trick, I think, main event. Javon versus someone, whether he's X Division champion or something at this point. But
yeah, let's do Javon and Leon against the Hardys.
Book it.
Yeah.
What else can the Hardys face? Dark State rematch? Like,
I feel they faced Hank and Tank already, didn't they? Didn't they do that on an episode of NXT?
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, like, I definitely wasn't necessarily super thrilled with this whole TNA versus thing, but they tried, they had some decent stuff, and I would say Ethan and Ali definitely made it a worthwhile show, and everyone went out there and tried, so
yeah,
bless them. But well, now we go towards Bound for Glory this weekend, and then we got Halloween Havoc in a few weeks, so yeah, things cooking up.
Yes, keep an eye on our socials. As we said, we will be doing a show on Monday, and as reminded in the chat room, Raw is Monday morning as well, so we may be able to talk a bit about Raw as well.
Wow. Okay.
It's
yeah.
in Australia. So Monday afternoon, evening sounds good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, if you use Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or whatever, YouTube, give Poison Rana a search and give us a follow. We will be going live sometime Monday in the daytime or sometime. We'll post about it and we will talk all about Bound for Glory. Title Tuesday right now, AEW. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Raw and Crown Jewel as well. So poisonrana.ca for links of all the other stuff that we do, by the way. But we will be live, of course, next week right here after NXT. But sometime on Monday, we will be live as well. So yeah, you know, I'll be optimistic and positive and say thumbs up. There was some funny business with this show. It wasn't great. Part of me felt a little FOMO. Everyone having fun watching Samoa Joe and Hangman and other things. And here I was watching Kazarian. So I felt a little FOMO, but I am happy and always glad to be an NXT friend. So I am, no matter what, I made the right decision. All right.
Let's see what, you know, you can still watch AEW.
No, I can't. I don't know how to do that.
You are capable.
How?
Triller.tv. There we go. let's go to your feedback. We start with Magan, who says, a worthwhile TV special that did throw TNA a bone at the top with the Hardys being double champions. Say what you will, but they know how to stay relevant. Mustafa Ali versus Ethan Page ruled with a finish that begs for a rematch. His bad luck is bound to run out next time around. The two elimination tags were very good, and Ricky Saints channeled HBK in 03 with the 4-on-1 disadvantage. Bene Trick Arnold is going to be staring up at the lights on Sunday.
Bene Trick Arnold. Wow.
You've lost me there, Magan.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's a hood classic.
Cool.
Chris Elliott writes in, water is wet, the day ends in a Y, the Pope is Catholic, and Booker T is goonin. Yep.
Yes.
I'll also read Frank's here, the last. Fire Frank writes in, go Yankees. Right, Fire Frank? Frank says, quite the show leading into Bound for Glory. Hardys pick up another accolade as they head into the match with 3D with two titles, maybe three, as they go for the House of Glory titles this Friday. Oh, interesting. Maybe they'll put them all on the line. He says, Soul was a star in the women's match. Great to hear the Iconics music again. Booker was on another planet. Ali and Ethan had a banger for the NA title. Crazy bump for Ali towards the end. Trick being smart and taking a powder as the men's team TNA took home the main event. Definitely a good de facto go-home show for TNA, as well as setting up tension for Tricky and Rick for Halloween Havoc. And we got Cardona and Briggs next week, as well as the Battle Royal. Frank says, I'm heading to Lowell for the show this weekend for Bound for Glory. Definitely looking forward to it. Slater and Evans should steal the show, and I don't care if they're 1,000 years old. One last Hardys Dudley battle will have the crowd rocking, no matter how slow they are. P.S. Got my tickets for NXT at MSG in November. Super pumped for that as
nice.
Well. Wow. All the wrestling. NXT, TNA for Frank. Frank will definitely give us some notes from attending the show, as I'm sure we'll read on Monday as well. But man, if the cards were right, I would have, like, if this was an AEW show and you had the Hardys and Dudleys and Edge and Christian or something, I'd be like, I have to go to this. Like, I'm sure some people like Frank are like, ah, fuck it. Why wouldn't I go watch them do this one more time? So there is a lot of intrigue from me as well for this match. I'm not expecting it to be great, but it could be better than Dark State tonight. Yeah. So There you go. But thank you, Frank. Thank you, everyone, for writing in, as always. And hey, thank you, everyone in the YouTube chat. If you chose us tonight, thank you very much. Or on the replay or whatever it may be. Again, give us a follow, Poison Rana. And check out our Invasion 01 review, Champ is Here, episode 12. So many different podcasts at patreon.com/PoisonRana. Give us a shot. It's $5. We'll be doing lots of spooky stuff this spooky season. We just recorded a Behind the BDE for all World Family Member Champion patrons. And I'm going to put the first 10 or so minutes up for all patrons as well tomorrow. So hear us talk about some hangovers and Blue Jays and I don't know, some nonsense as well, but tons of different podcasts, and we appreciate all the love from the postmarks out there. But we'll talk soon. All right?
Yes, we will.
We showed up and we showed down. So that is it. That is all. Take care. Goodbye and be safe. Go, Jays, go.
Ahoy!
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.